Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Advice Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Philip. Tonight we got another show I'm going to bring to you on the topic, America's Dirty Little Secret, Adult Entertainment. So I have my guest tonight, Miss Bella Vendetta, and we're going to interview her, and she's going to take questions from the audience once we finish. Now, I'm going to do the interview portion first, and then we'll take a break, and after that she'll answer questions. So I'll chime her in and get started on the interview. Miss Bella Vendetta, you're on the Advice Show. How you doing?
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, sure, no problem. So the first question I got for you is, what made you decide to be in the adult entertainment industry?
Oh, man, that's a hard question to answer. I don't know. I don't think there wasn't, like, one thing that made me decide this is it, this is what I want to do. I guess I had been, you know, on the stage and in front of the camera and doing theater and fashion modeling since I was in middle school, really. And then, you know, when I, like, just when I turned 18, this boy that I was sort of messing with kind of confessed that he ran this porn site. He was, like, afraid to tell me about it. And I was like, well, why don't you tell me about it? I want to be on it, you know, what the fuck? So as soon as I turned 18, I posed for my first set. And then shortly after that, I started training as a pro dominatrix. So I got involved in the sex industry pretty much when I was barely legal.
Okay, now see, that was going to be my second question, but you answered it. I was going to ask you how old were you when you got into business, but you said 18, so that, you knocked out two questions with one answer. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
How did you come up with the name Bella Vendetta?
Oh, well, that's another long one. You know, I've been modeling under a couple different names for a few different companies. At that point, it didn't seem like something I was going to make a career out of. It was just like a fun kind of hobby. And then, you know, I dated somebody who ended up cheating on me. And a couple months later, we ended up getting in a fist fight over it. And I had this white wife beater that I was wearing at the time that was, like, all covered in his blood from me busting up his face. And I just wrote on a whim Bella Vendetta on it, which means beautiful revenge in Italian. And I'm Italian. So the name kind of just stuck after that. And it became, like, this little revolution of a porn site.
Wow. So basically your name come off of whipping a dude for cheating, basically.
Yep.
Wow. Well, I guess it's taking a negative and, I guess, making some money off of it, I guess.
I mean, you know, it was all about taking, you know, my original statement about it was about taking revenge on the adult industry and, like, changing all these things that I didn't agree with and that, you know, were bringing me down. And I had, like, you know, tried these little forays into working for other companies, and I always constantly felt like they just weren't a good fit for me, and I was being asked to do things that weren't really me. So I just kind of started this company that was just kind of like, fuck you, this is all me now. This site is all me.
Okay, now I'm going to get into all the companies in later questions, but the next question I had just for you personally, what was your family reaction when you told them or they found out you was in the adult entertainment industry?
Well, my mother's passed away, and my father really knew early on. He's actually the one that introduced me to Madam Chang and Master R, who run La Domaine SMR, which is a BDSM training chateau. That's where I trained to become a pro dom. He is a chef, and he was cooking for them. And he's the one that introduced me to them when I was really, really young. So he knew, like, you know, right from the jump that I was pro dom and I was in the sex industry. So it was never really a secret to withhold from him. And not everyone in my family has been so cool about it. You know, my sister's very supportive and talks to me a lot about it. She's a very sex-positive person and is open. My grandmother, unfortunately, you know, she's old school and she's from Italy, and the rest of my family really are pretty disgusted by it, and they don't have much to do with me these days.
Okay, now let me ask you a question. Do you enjoy being in the adult entertainment industry, and why?
Yeah, of course I do. I mean, I love it.
Okay, and why is that?
I mean, I have a great life, you know. I've had a great week this far, you know. I've had a lot of great visitors. I've had a bunch of sexy people in my house. I've shot some great porn. I've eaten some great food. I've just had such a great time. I've been to travel places. I get to, you know, affect people on a really deep level. There's nothing to not love about this industry as long as you're doing it in ways that don't compromise your integrity.
Okay.
Sometimes now, do every day.
Well, what is the biggest misconceptions about the adult entertainment industry?
Oh, I don't know. There's so many.
Well, if you can name two or three.
People hear that, you know, they hear that you're a sex worker, that you're a porn star, that you're a dom. They just assume so many things about you right off the bat. Right off the bat, they're going to assume that, you know, you're rich and that you have sex all the time with tons of people and, you know, that you're stupid. Probably those are the three things that people are going to assume about you. Those would definitely be the three things that are wrong.
Now, when it comes to the film companies, do they treat the entertainers fairly?
Well, I mean, every company is different. You can't say across the board yes or no at all. I mean, every single company is different. Some companies are great. Some companies I wouldn't want to work with again. Some companies I never want to work with.
Okay. Have you refused to work with another entertainer on set, and why is that possibly?
Well, me personally, it wouldn't happen on set because I really selectively do films and scenes. So when I get asked to do a scene, there's a lot of pre-negotiation there with who it's going to be with, what's going to be done, what the pay rate's going to be, what it's going to be used for, how it's going to be marketed. I'm not under any contract. I don't do a lot of scenes. I'm not the kind of performer that shows up and it's like, okay, you're working with this person today. And I go, ew, I don't want to work with them, because I would have already negotiated that, you know, in advance. So that's never happened to me. There's definitely been, you know, directors that call and say, we want you to do this with this person. And I say, no, I don't think so, you know.
Okay, now about the male talent, are they respectful to the female talent?
Every male performer that I've ever worked with has been just a great person, really respectful and really just into women, you know. Those are the ones that I look for to work with. I have nothing but great things to say about them, you know. The guys that I've gotten to do scenes with are just there to get a woman off. That's like their job. That's what they want to do. They want to make you feel good. So there's nothing bad to say about that.
Okay. Now, what is your opinion as an entertainer on the tube sites?
Well, you know, I'm really pretty morally against them. They steal from us is what they do. You know, it's really sad to do a scene that is really great, that you worked really hard to make, that you really, you know, pushed yourself to make, and people are just sharing it around for free. A lot of people do that because they assume that porn stars are rich. So, you know, sharing the scene isn't going to affect them. They don't understand how much that affects the industry. If someone can dial up and see a full scene of me, you know, my most intense scene for free, why are they going to pay me for it? And people don't understand that if you're not paying for porn, you're directly affecting the entire industry and making it so that we can't do our jobs and we can't produce this amazing content that a lot of thought and time goes into, because no one's paying for it.
Now, you keep mentioning not being rich. Well, what is the average salary for a female entertainer?
Oh, I have no idea. You're asking the wrong person. I'm not an average female entertainer. I don't even know what would be considered an average female entertainer. I think everyone's different. Everyone goes through their career differently.
Can you give me a ballpark, like per year, ballpark?
No, I have no idea. I wouldn't do that.
Really?
I think it's kind of like grody to talk about. Who cares how much money people make anyway? I don't know. I'm not going to talk about how much money other people make. I have no idea.
Okay. Now, has camming put the entertainer in more control of what they do since people cam now?
Yeah, definitely for me. I mean, I just started camming about less than 2 years ago now, and I kind of, it's one of those things that I started doing, and I wish I had done it sooner, you know. I kind of resisted. I don't really know why. But I really like it now, and it's, you know, it's great. It is putting you in control of you know, what you're doing, what you're showing, what kind, you know, what kind of shows you're doing. There's no director there telling you, do this, do this, do this. It's really, this is what I want to do today. This is what I'm comfortable with. So it's great for entertainers and for porn stars. I mean, it's, you know, a person can sign up right now and see, like, their favorite porn star in a one-on-one show live, private, just for them. I think that's awesome.
Okay, now, if a woman wants to get into the industry, do you recommend it? Yes or no?
I don't know. That's, you know, case-by-case basis. It's definitely not right for everyone. Definitely lifestyle. It definitely takes a certain kind of person. It's not easy money that some people think, you know, I just want to make money. Oh, you get to make money having sex all day. It's going to be great. But that's really, you know, not the way it goes. It's a job. It's you know, you have to think everything out. You know, you're selling yourself as a product. You're becoming a character. You're affecting people on a really base level. It's not just something that you do flippantly. If you are someone that's getting into it just for the money, I would recommend that you probably don't do it because you're not going to end up a very healthy person.
Okay, now you're talking about health. I mean, I do know that, you know, once a month in the industry, you got to take a regular test. I mean, this I do know. But you kept mentioning a healthy person. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, people have this misconception that all porn stars are like these, you know, insane drug addicts who've had abusive childhoods and, you know, poor self-esteem or whatever they want to imagine or assume about us. And most of us, that's not true, but that is not to say that that's not true of some people. Some people do get into the industry for the wrong reasons because, you know, they'll sign a contract without thinking about it. To them, it's easy money and they're spending their money foolishly or on drugs or whatever. That happens in some cases, sure. Not all of them, but again, you know, it takes a certain kind of person.
Okay, now, have you ever had a stalker due to your work?
I've had a couple, yeah.
Well, how did you handle it?
I have had a few. I don't know. You just got to be really firm with people. I mean, I've never been one to get the authorities involved in anything like that. You know, I'm not a rat. But
wow.
It's been dealt with.
You say a rat now. I'm laughing because I had Pia Rizzo on my show maybe about a month or so ago with My Wife Chicago, and she said that rat word, too. I was like, what is it about the word rat?
Oh, it's just a dirty word. You know, no one wants to be a rat. People don't think about what that means. You know, and not that I'm saying if someone's life is in danger, they shouldn't contact the authorities, but just a little bit different than the way I go about things. The cops are not going to be my first call.
Yeah, you can see back in my neighborhood, we call it a snitch. We don't call it a rat.
Right, that's what it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. Yeah, I know it's a snitch. Now, when it comes to your fans, do they send you gifts?
Oh yeah, I get a lot. I've actually been getting more. It's so nice. Like, it makes me so happy when I, you know, come home and there's a package in the mail. It's like something from my wish list that I really wanted. And I always make sure that I give somebody something in return, you know, pictures, some message, some kind of something, because it's just so sweet. My fans, I'm so lucky, you know, they're really good to me. I'll post things like, I really want to do this photo shoot. I need, like, neon green leg warmers, for instance, which just happened. And then I had fans send them to me. I mean, how awesome is that, you know? They want to see you succeed and do your thing, so they help out. I think it's great. That's a real fan. Looking on the tube sites, that's not a real fan, you know?
What is the best gift you received so far, in your opinion?
The best one I've probably gotten is my stripper pole, because it was, I really
somebody actually, sent you one?
Yeah, someone sent me a really nice one for Christmas.
Wow.
That's probably the nicest gift I've gotten.
Now, do your fans come to your shows no matter where you're at?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they're pretty spread out all over the place. Some, you know, in some cities. Some countries, even my fan base is stronger than others, but I think I've got a pretty solid group of people that follow my career, and they try to, you know, someone will come out to any show wherever I go.
Okay, now, this is my last question I'm going to ask you. What is the one thing about you that no one knows what you would like your fans to know?
Well, if no one knew it, then it wouldn't be a secret, would it?
Sometimes people be like, you know, I'm going to let these people know this about me, and maybe they thought this one thing. Since it's like me, I'm actually a quiet person. They don't seem like it if you look at all the stuff I talk about, but I'm pretty quiet. I'm not one to talk about.
I'm not quiet.
Oh, you're not quiet?
I'm not really a quiet person, no. No, not really ever. But I don't know. I feel like my life is pretty public. You know, I have a blog. I have a Twitter. Like, people really know what I'm up to. They know what I'm thinking. I don't hold much back.
Oh, hey, you don't want to do that because closed mouths don't get fed. So
that's right.
So do you have any thing you want to promote or any shout-outs you need to do? This is, you know, since I'm about wrapped up with my question.
You know, I would definitely like to tell people that my website, bellavendetta.com, is going to relaunch around Christmas time. And until then, if you go there, you can check out, there's a bunch of links that you can click, And I'm pretty, you know, as I said, I selectively work with a few specific companies. And if you go there, you can see, like, this company I'm doing boy-girl work with. This company I'm doing dom work with. This company I'm posing as a submissive. This company is glamour work, whatever it is. And please click them and buy a membership, you know, if you want to support what I'm doing, you know, put your money where your mouth is. Because going to tube sites and just downloading stuff for free of your favorite performer is not helping your career at all. So you can go check that out. You can also see how to, you know, book a webcam show with me or call me on the phone or book a professional domination session in the dungeon as well.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to take a break and let my guests take a break. And
okay.
Then we're going to come back. I'm going to play a song just for that time period, just so you won't be bored hearing quietness. And we'll come back and we'll check if we have any callers. And so I'm going to go ahead and do that and let Miss Vendela. I'm crossing your name up, Bella Vendela. There you go. See, I gave you a new name. You didn't have one.
No, a lot of people have been calling me Miss Vendela lately, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's been the same. Miss V. People are starting to
that's much easier for everybody. All right, we'll go ahead and take a break and let Miss V take a break as well. So we'll be back.
Classic hip hop shit. Dr. D.R.E. Rose and J. Let's get 'em. We started out mopping floors, and now we front row at the awards. Number one for the last 20 years. If you real, motherfucker, scream cheers. Motherfucker, scream cheers. Yeah. And it is what it is. He wanted to shine at the swap meet. To the white boys, got him in that hot seat. Only love it when I hair long. You should listen to this beat through my headphones. Money long, number one, 20 years strong. Fuck a gym, I am him, Andre Young. G5s and 6-4s, Dre got him. If the bitch bad, I got her in red bottom. Great weed, nice home, bread proper. Tech 9, one chamber, top shotter. Bentley coupe, new yacht, my helicopter. Born broke, real nigga, straight out of Compton. The fuck you magazine niggas want from me? I rewrote the game, nigga, now talk money. All black on my Al Capone shit. I built the house, nigga, get your own shit. I only love it when her hair long. You should listen to this beat through my headphones.
See y'all niggas. Hit the switches on that shit one time. Let the top down. I came a long way from the weed game. 20 stack seats at the heat game. And I'm still strapped with the heat, man. Came me stepping on a nigga's feet, man. Hey, best sneakers came from the G gang. Cousin was a Crip, said it was a C thing. Brown bag money in a duffel bag. Fuck them all with them, then we got a double back. The homie whipping chickens in his mama kitchen. On a mission, say he did it for his son's tuition. Real niggas' dreams coming to fruition. Stumble, but I never fall, leaning on my pistol. I only love her when the ass fat. We should listen to this track in my Maybach. I'm just trying to be a billionaire. Come and suck a dick for a millionaire.
It's just different. I know it feels different. I only love it for eyes brown. Play this shit while you play around with my crown. King H.O., y'all should know by now. But if you don't know, meanings on the wall in all my rooms. Niggas couldn't fuck with my daughter's room. Niggas couldn't walk in my daughter's socks. Banksy bitches, Basquiat. I ran through that buck 50 Live Nation running me. They working on another deal, they talking 250. I'm holding out for three. 275 and I just might agree. XD boy used to park my Beamer. Now look at me, I can park in my own arena. I only love it for weave new. I'm still a hood nigga, what you want me to do? Been hopping out the BM with your BM. Taking the places you can't go with your Vadim. Screaming coffee DM until I'm a dead poet. Robin Williams shit, I deserve a Golden Globe, bitch. I take an ace in the meanwhile. You ain't gotta keep this calendar, it's just a freestyle. Fuck rap money, I made more of crates. Fuck show money, I spent that on Drake. close the curtain, fuck boy out my face. I whipped the coat, let the lawyer beat the case. Murder was the case that they gave me. I killed the Hermes store, somebody save me. Something to the max like wavy. Oh shit. Oh, something to the max, I'm so wavy. Used to shop at TJ Maxx back in 83. I don't even know if it was open then. I ain't no Oprah then. Had the XL80 bike. Loud motor, they be like, damn, when I'm coming through, ring.
All right, we back. That was Three Kings off that Rick Ross album, God Forgives, I Don't. So, we still got Miss Bella Vendetta on the line. And
hi.
Hi, okay. And I'm opening up the line for any callers or anybody in the chat room that want to submit a question, and I'll ask her if you don't want to call in.
So you have a chat room that people can ask questions in, too. That's cool.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a chat room. I have, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people that I can see in right now in the chat room.
Nice.
So, yeah, sometimes people, what they'll do is instead of call, they'll say, hey, ask this question. So I'll just go ahead and ask the question they want me to answer. But, you know, while I'm waiting on that, if anybody do call in, I had somebody call in actually like twice already, but it wasn't a portion of the show for that. Those big award shows they have you been to any of those shows?
Like the AVN Awards?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I actually won one for my first video I did.
Wow, so what comes
won,
with that?
The first video I ever won did Best Specialty Release. It was Burning Angel, and it was called Come On My Tattoo Number 3.
So what, you get like a monetary prize, just bragging rights?
No, you don't get a monetary prize. You get to say that you won an AVN award.
Okay, so basically bragging rights. Okay, we got one call just popping in right now, so I'm going to take it.
Okay.
Caller 4784, you're on the show.
Hello, Bella. I have a question in regards to I'm Jasmine from Dallas. And,
hi, Jasmine.
Hi. I wanted to know how do you maintain such like confidence in your sexuality, and what do you recommend for women to express that? Because it's something that
For me, that's hard to answer because that really comes naturally for me. It's never really been an issue. Like I am just an overly confident person, you know. And part of that definitely came from me training as a pro dom and learning how to, take my sexual drive, take my sexuality, and just let it out onto the world and to unleash it. So, you know, good thing that's something you got to constantly work on, you know, and to do things that make you feel good and make you feel confident, do things that make you feel sexy all the time. It's really important to take that time for yourself.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you so much. I was just wondering, you know, if, well, thank you so much. And
thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Well,
all right.
So nice. I love when chicks call. That's the best.
Yeah, it is good. It is good when they call.
The biggest dick I ever sucked is or something.
I think it's good when they call, because that way they educating themselves so they can
absolutely
do things better with their man. That's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's one thing I had even put a disclaimer out in my chat room that if anybody's gonna call, be respectful about it because I know how guys can get.
You get used to that too. There's a way to deal with that. You know, it's just kind of, you just got to laugh it off. And that's a good way to educate people too. I mean, those are the people that need to be educated, the people, the closed-minded idiots that call.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, but not me, like anybody come on my show. I take it no different if you came to my home. So
yep.
I'm not going to let
cool.
nobody disrespect who come to my house. That's just kind of how
mm-hmm.
I do things.
Mm-hmm.
But just to let everybody know, the line is still open, 347-996-3350, or you can submit a question in the chat room to Ms. Bella Vendetta. Man, I keep screwing that up.
Maybe you should just call me Miss V.
Yeah, you go. Miss V, yes, that's perfect. Miss V.
That's a new thing.
So
wait, 347, where are you based out of New York?
No, I'm not. That's just the number that they've given me for guests. No, actually, I'm in the Houston area, Texas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. So,
okay.
You know, when I'm not in control of, you know, the little numbers that they give or whatever. But, you know, what trips me out about, you know, some people is that, you know, because I have another friend that's in the industry, and she's told me some things, too. It's like some of the requirements some of these companies put on, you know, some of the talent just to, you know, do some things. I heard that some companies are extremely professional where they feel like they want to almost detox you before and after you do something.
Yeah, you know, that's funny that you mentioned that, because a lot of people will assume that, you know, like I said, in mainstream porn, there's all these drug problems and there's all these people, really unhealthy people using drugs. But, you know, like you just mentioned, the really big companies, they're spending a lot of money booking you, and they're going to spend the money to make sure that you're not doing drugs. They're going to drug test you. They're going to put you through detox if they think you need it. They're going to do what they can to get you, you know, on board and as a healthy person. So it's not like people are smoking crack hits and then going and doing a blowjob scene. That really doesn't happen in the industry. It's a little more organized than most people think.
So so you're talking about the mainstream. Are they like, do they have like agents for that, or what?
Yeah,
are you kind
of course.
Like on?
I mean, there's ton of, I don't have an agent, and I'm not under contract with any company. I'm a free agent. I book all my own scenes. I've, you know, been doing it for 11 years, and I've never actually had an agent. But there are agents, yeah, sure, that will, you know, recommend you do certain things so that you can get more work and they can book you for other companies.
Okay. Well, that's crazy. I mean, you know, you normally hear of an NBA player or NFL player having an agent, but, you know, you usually don't hear that too much.
Sure, of course they do. They have agents and they have PR people and, you know, they have a team of people. They have their people, you know. When you say have your people call my people, it's like a team of people. You got a stylist, a makeup artist, a fucking photographer, an airbrusher, a web designer, an agent, a PR person. You got it all if you're doing it right, I guess.
So now I noticed Twitter has revolutionized everything. You notice that?
Yeah, definitely. I love Twitter. I'm a big fan of Twitter.
Yeah, I didn't used to like it until maybe like about a month ago.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know, even.
It's like you can hustle. To me, it's like you can hustle so much on Twitter. It's not even funny.
Yeah. Yeah, and people, I feel like on Twitter, actually click through and make the connection, whereas on Facebook, it's like maybe it's like such an overload of information that you, it doesn't matter. You're never going to click that link. You're going to look at the picture and move on to the next thing.
Yeah, and then I noticed, too, you know, like, oh, if you want to book this, you want to talk to this one, talk to that one, you know,
mm-hmm.
email this, and it's like, cool versus Facebook, you can't do. I don't know, people just
right.
don't put it out there like that.
Right.
But also,
well, I mean, Facebook is also totally not friendly to the adult industry. They're
really
lead us as soon as they find us. They're very much against it.
Wow, I
didn't
Twitter,
know that. As you know, Twitter's got Porn Star Tweet and Alt Girl Tweet, and they've got all these cool companies that are like promoting the fact that adult stars are using Twitter, which I think is great.
Well, you know, like, I don't know what happened to Facebook. It's not like, I guess since he got so big with being publicly traded, I don't know what's wrong with him.
I don't have Facebook, so I don't know.
Yeah, I wanted to ask maybe one more question about the companies themselves. What you say when they get you under contract, basically you just got to do whatever they tell you to do, no matter, and work with whoever they say to work with?
I mean, I don't know. Again, I can't really answer that question because I'm not under contract, so I don't know. You'd have to ask someone who's got a contract that question.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see. I've still got the lines open if anybody want to call. I know Ms. V. Probably has her other bookings and stuff like that done. Do you have any shows coming up that anybody can possibly go see? Or
yeah, I don't have shows per se coming up, but I do have a couple different events coming up, and there is going to be two different events going on at the dungeon that I work at this month. On the 18th, we're going to have Murphy Blue, who's a Shibari long rope sakura, Japanese long rope bondage master. He's going to be there teaching a workshop, and then we have a couples party where people can come and kind of explore and learn about BDSM. And that's on the 18th of this month. And then on the 26th, we have a flush hook suspension event for kinky people, also at the dungeon. So those are two pretty cool things that are going on this month.
And where is this place located?
That is right outside of Albany, New York. So.
Okay, so on the East Coast.
Yeah, on the East Coast. And then in September, I'm actually going to be in Colorado taking Pro Dom sessions in the Denver area for a few days. So
okay.
Hopefully all the sissy boys in Denver will come out and worship my feet.
Wow. Yeah, that little section, I guess you call it fetish, that's not my cup of tea, but hey, some people into it. Yeah, because if you about to extract pain on me, we're going to have a problem. Yeah, because I've heard of some things with that, and I'm like, oh, boy, uh-uh. Nah, it was kind of traditional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
I can kind of hear that. But if it looks like we don't have any more callers, like that's the only person calling in, I'm pretty sure, you know, a lot of people, you know, a lot of times listen, but I don't know, sometimes they be, you know, apprehensive about calling in sometimes. This depends on what the topic is. But if, you know, like I said, I appreciate you definitely coming through and sharing the knowledge.
Thanks for having me. That's awesome. Oh. It was great to talk.
Oh, sure. And you can catch Miss V on Twitter and her website and anywhere else Miss V is going to do her thing. So just what's your Twitter?
You can catch me on BellaVendetta.com, and my Twitter is BellaVendetta, and I'm pretty much under the name BellaVendetta on every social networking system that there is. But BellaVendetta.com is the place to go where you can find links to all my adult work and booking sessions with me and, you know, upcoming events and everything.
Okay, well, thank you very much for joining us, and you have definitely a blessed day.
You too. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, I want to definitely thank my guest, Miss V. She's having a hard time saying Bella Vendetta. I don't know why. For coming through and giving some education about the adult entertainment industry. But I want to jump on another thing I was thinking about today. What's going on with these spoiled kids? And the reason why I'm thinking about these spoiled kids is like, have you noticed in this day and time, the kids always got their hands out for everything. They got the nerve to open their mouth and tell you they like an iPad. Like, do you know how much an iPad is? I don't even have an iPad right now. You asking me for one? Well, how much them things was? Over $300? And you want an iPad. You want a tablet. Or, shoot, the only tablet I think you need is a 99-cent tablet from Walmart. That's about good as what you need. So you can do some math problems. Why don't you draw something like we used to do back in the day? Make your little flip book. But no, you don't want to do that. You want a tablet. No, you want a cell phone. You want the iPhone, too. Not a regular cell phone. You want the iPhone. Like you got a job. You know how to do everything. You know how to upload, download, reload, and anything else you got to do with that phone. But ask you to do some chores. You act like you can't do that. It's simple to wash some dishes, but you have a hard time doing that. But you know how to operate an iPhone. Tell you to vacuum the flow. You don't know how to use vacuum cleaner right, but you sure know how to log on to Netflix on the TV and watch TV. What's wrong with these kids? Is it the kids' fault, or is it our fault as parents? What is it that we have to spoil our kids so much in this country? And then we raise our kids, and they grow up to be good for nothing. They really do. And they don't want to leave our households when they get grown because they want to stay there because we gave them a free ride. We gave them no chores. And the spoilness, I feel, got started long time ago when they said you couldn't discipline your kids in the house or it's considered child abuse. And I grew up the old school way, okay? And the old school way was if you get out of line, they're going upside your head and knocking you in your mouth. Now, I remember one time I had said something crazy to my grandfather. And he backhanded me right in my mouth. And I asked him, Papa, why did you do that? And he tells me, well, teach you to stay in your place. And I looked at him, but you know what? I learned a lesson from that, getting knocked right in my mouth. You hit a kid in the mouth these days, they call 911, guess what? They're locking you up. So now parents are afraid to discipline their kids when these kids get out of line. I talked to a police officer that I know at the job. And I asked him, what is the fine line between abuse and discipline? And he told me that if you smack a child on the butt or whatever, that's fine. But if you go to beating them across the back, punching them, kicking them, bruising them, making marks, he said, then yes, we can arrest you for that. So I wanted to find this out because I remember one time with my son, see, I kind of raised my son the old school way too. I'm 33, but he's, you know, he's 7. And if he got out of line, I took care of it the old school way. Well, me and my ex isn't together anymore, and, you know, I'm remarried. So you know how it goes when you get remarried and get with a new lady, and the old woman got a problem with the new woman. And it's not that the new woman say anything to the old one. Just sometimes, you know how women just don't get over stuff? They take a lot longer to get over things than maybe men take a lot of time to get over things. Well, I remember one time, you know, my son kept doing some things. He came, you know, tried to stay with me for the month. And what happened was, you know, he was doing things. My wife was like, no, just let it go. And, you know, just let him, just talk to him. So I talked to him. But my son is like me. It gets to a point with people like us that we got to have a wake-up call, and then we'll correct ourselves. After that, we're fine. Well, for 2 weeks, he did something. He knows that I'm the type that if you do something wrong, I'm going to get you right then and there. That way I stop it. But no, I let it go. He did something that I thought was totally, totally out of line, and that if I didn't correct something like this, that he would, you know, if he'd done that to somebody else, he's behind be in jail somewhere, okay? So I disciplined him for it. Well, he went home. His mother calls me, screaming and yelling, talking about, why did you, you know, discipline him? Why did you? I say, well, it's my son. That's what I was supposed to do. Well, you discipline my son. I'm going to call the cops. I'm going to do this and then the third. And, you know, after that, I called my father. And, you know, I told my father the situation. And he was like, son, he said, look, I understand why you discipline your son. And you were definitely in the right. You weren't in the wrong. And you didn't do, you know, I didn't bruise him up or do nothing like that. But he said, that woman's at a point that you got to protect yourself. He said, because any little thing, she's going to try to get you in trouble because she's mad that you don't want her no more. So I had took the new approach. He do something, I just talk to him. That's it. Don't do nothing. Until I talked to the guy I know as a police officer and told me what's acceptable and what's not. So once I got that information, I definitely took that. And if he done something else, I did exactly what he said. I gave him one good pop on his butt, and that's it. Because I never really did no hitting kids across the back, across the arm, beat, bruising them up. No, I mean, if you're too upset to discipline your child, you need not to do it, okay? Because it's to teach your children what's right and wrong. But the problem I got with the whole thing is them doggone policemen, they can tase your kid. They can kill your child for doing wrong, and nothing will be said. They won't go to jail. How many times have police didn't kill people that was going for a wallet to show them, hey, this is my wallet? And they assume, oh, they had a gun. That supposedly they had a gun because, you know, the cops, all they got to do is say that, and they get off based on assumptions. And nothing will happen to the police. And even if something were to happen to them, they don't get, at max, I noticed, a year. They had to do something real, real heinous to get this sort of thing happening to them. So these kids know all this sort of thing that's going on. These kids having this newfound power in their mind. And they feel that when they get to a certain age around that teenage stage, they say, I got balls now. I got nuts. And nothing's going to stop me from doing what the hell I want to do. Because if I do something, my parents tell me something. All I got to do is pick up the phone, 911, and say they beat me, and my parent will get put in jail. This is what changed, and this is what messed up America, literally, in the essence of our children. This is what messed them up right there. And so many parents are afraid to be parents to their kids because of this right here. So what's going on? What's going on? I mean, how can we fix this? How can we change that? You know, let me know. Shoot, I don't have all the answers, but I definitely like to hear and know what people think about this sort of thing with our kids. I mean, yes, as parents, we have contributed to their delinquency. We have, because we give them everything underneath the sun. There are many kids in many countries that don't live nowhere like the lives these kids live. They don't have over 300 channels to look at. They don't have cell phones and iPads and all this other stuff. These American kids walking around with iPods, and yet they live, you know, okay lives. When I grew up, it was none of that mess was out. I played more outside. You get what I'm saying? I mean, these kids don't even play outside anymore. Everything is inside. They never breathe the fresh air. All they breathe is that fake air in the house. What's wrong with our kids? What's wrong with us as parents? We don't do nothing for our kids like we used to. We try to be too much of their friends and not their parents. My mother told me a long time ago, I'm not your friend. I'm your mother. And I always remember that. As a parent, you can't be a friend to your child. Your child shouldn't be drinking with you. Some parents let their kids smoke weed in the house. Well, long they do it in front of me, I'm fine with it. No, you dummy. You teach them something they shouldn't be doing. And yes, I said dummy because I'm not going to teach my kids to do things that could possibly get them locked up or in some sort of trouble. That I feel that I'm contributing to the wrong. And then some of you parents that got kids that's 18, 19, and they just sitting there in the house. Why? Why do you have them in your house? And they're not even paying bills. Why? I don't get that. My attitude, and this is how I feel. Kid get 18, he got one or two choices. Once he graduates high school, he or she. You go to college, you still can stay here. No problem. I will make sure you can stay here if you're not going to stay on campus. And I'm not going to charge you rent or anything because you're in school full time. If you choose not to go to school full time, then I'm going to give you 6 months to get out because I've done my job. It's time for me to have my own house. I want to walk around with my wife dressed the way I want to dress, not dressed like I got kids in the house all the time. You know, I want my bills to go down, too. I done raised you. I done my job. But a lot of these parents, they let their kids stay in the house 25, 26, 27, 28. A 28-year-old in your mama house, I don't care if you're male or female, you need to get out. Where's your self-respect? But it goes all the way back to your mama or your dad or whoever else you got. You're not in college, you're just sitting there. Now, I remember I was dating this this one chick, and she lived at her mama's house. Now, I didn't think nothing of it at first, you know, because sometimes maybe, you know, I think sometimes people's parents are sick, and they stay in there because they're helping them out. Well, no, her mama was fine. Her mama worked every day. No, she was just staying there because she was just staying there. She didn't have kids or nothing like that. And I always said, well, why are you staying here? You know, you complaining about your mama. What you doing? I mean, get your own spot. I say, and I used to tell her all the time, you ain't got kids. I said, you rich. I said, when you get kids, it's when your money starts being dragged out a little bit. Because now you got to support a kid. And you know, but she never got, you know, her stuff together with that. You know, I don't know what that chick doing today. But, you know, it's like, it's sad you living in your mama house, going out to the club or whatever. Like, she was like, dude, coming home drunk and everything. And you living in your mama's house. Like, at least come back to your own house. You get what I'm saying? So, I mean, these kids, you know, they go from little kids to grown folks that still is childish. And you wonder what's wrong with a lot of these females today, too, why they're so childish. It comes from their parents and never make them grow up. Never made them do chores and they were small. Never, you know, these women that don't know how to cook, they ain't learn from their mama. All they learn how to do is put something in the microwave. I think the microwave was the worst invention ever come out because I think the microwave has ruined domestication in families. I think it really, that and fast food. Because back in the day, we didn't have McDonald's on every corner or Carl's Jr. or In-N-Out Burger or whatever else. You actually had to go your behind to the grocery store and cook. People used to actually go out and get chickens and cook them and eat them. I'm not talking about just straight catching the chicken. Or some people used to buy cows or whatever. And the men would do this, the women would cook it. Now, none of this go on. And you wonder what's wrong with these families, with these spoiled kids. You get with these females, they don't know how to crack an egg because they're so used to a doggone microwave. Okay? I got a microwave in my house that came with, you know, where I stay. And I don't sit there and use that microwave a whole lot because actually I'm one to believe in cooking. You know, when I make my food or whatever, or we make a meal. In our home, because it costs so much money to be out there constantly fast food eating. And if you got a female that's out there constantly taking you to a fast food restaurant, what you with her for, men? Because I don't want no food made by the hand of somebody else every single day. Now, that's fine every once in a while. We go get some fast food. That's cool. But I don't want a woman bringing me home a doggone bag a McDonald's that some other woman made or some other guy made. Like, what's wrong with your hands? What's wrong with us going to the grocery store and buying food for the next week or next 2 weeks? But these women that do that, a lot of them got their hands out. They want you to give them money. They want you to put them in a nice place to stay. They want a car. They want all this stuff. But yet you got the nerve to bring me some fast food and you want all that? Oh, no, you got to give and take a little bit, sister girl. You know, but maybe it's just me. Maybe I expect too much. Maybe I was shown the right way of how a man should be and how a woman should be. And men, you too. You sit up there, you got all these expectations of women. A lot of you don't even work full-time jobs. But you got expectations of women. Why? Some of you sit at home all day twiddling your thumbs playing an Xbox with a woman working. And you want her to respect you. You want her to give you your place as a man. I mean, are you silly in your head? You don't pay one bill in that household, but yet you expect this woman to respect you. This is what I don't get. Some of these guys these days. Then you call a guy out on his BS, and he gets mad at you. He start being a male drama queen. He start wanting to have an attitude. He will get mad when you talk about him or say something about his little sagging skinny jeans, which I can't stomach to see a young man doing, especially sagging them pants. I don't know if you have saw the video that was on my other channel. I have two YouTube channels, the Advice Show TV and the Advice Show with Advice Show. I put up a video that I saw off of World Star Hip Hop about a father clowning his son about skinny jeans. And it was just funny. That's why I just had to put that up. But these kids, you know, with these skinny jeans, and then they get, like I say, they get so pissed off. Oh, they get pissed off at me when I make references of it on some videos. It's like, man, y'all act like some females, man, defending some jeans. I mean, I could, you know, you still just sound like, you sound like women trying to defend their right to show their titties to everybody. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's what women do. Men don't sit up there and fight and defend about some pants like women. This is why I tell y'all, a lot of these guys are male drama queens these days. They just like male versions of these women, and a lot of times they were raised in these single-parent households, and these women have an effect on that. That's why, men, you need to make sure, do not make a baby with a woman. I don't care how fine she is. I don't care if she tell you you don't have to use a rubber. I don't care if she says it turns me on when you bust a nut in me. I don't care what she says. Even though when a woman says that, look, I'm a man, I'm real. Yeah, it turns you on to hear her say she wants you to bust a nut inside of her, okay? But you can't do it because you get this chick pregnant. After the fact, you don't even like this chick like that. You just liked her booty that day. That's it, okay? You liked her booty, but you didn't really fully like her. So now you have a baby with this chick, and now you got another young man being raised by a single parent. And this is what's killing these young men every day, especially young black men. Every day. You know, and see, the thing is, the brothers is out here talking, and the brothers, they're strong brothers. They want to definitely drown their voice out. They don't want them to be silent because it's an advantage to having a feminized young man, especially a feminized young black man. There's so many people take advantage of that because no one fears a feminized black male, nobody. But everybody fears a strong and courageous black man. Let me give you, you know, just two prominent examples. You know, a black man like Malcolm X, a black man like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Those are strong black men that went through a lot, and they had a definite impact on the world, and, you know, especially the black community. Even though they're dead, they still have an impact. These are, you know, two examples of strong black men who stood for something and didn't back down from nobody. Okay? See, the black man has a voice. And see, that's what y'all don't realize. A lot of y'all don't realize this about the black man. Why is it that when the black man speak, people start worrying? Why? If you think about it, those that's in power, they got army, they got money, they got government, they got it all. Black man don't have none of that in this country. He don't. He don't own none of it. He don't own the businesses. None of these things the black man own. But yet, when the black man's voice start getting loud, everybody pays attention. Have you ever wondered that? Why? Now, let me give you a recent event about that. When Trayvon Martin had got killed by George Zimmerman. No one was saying nothing about it at first, okay? At all. Fine. Well, then black people started getting wind of it, first on social media, because it wasn't mainstream media that brought Trayvon Martin out. It was social media. That's why I love social media, because we get the news out quicker than mainstream media. And everybody has a chance on social media to speak their opinion. I wish more people would do this. Webcams are cheap. And YouTube and all these other video sites are free. You don't have to pay to put out your opinion out there, and it could maybe help somebody. So the buzz started going around about Trayvon Martin all over Facebook, Twitter. It started going along everywhere, and everybody started making videos about it. And later mainstream media had got a hold to this. Well, it still wasn't a big deal. Well, when black people start getting together about this and you start seeing these rallies pop up and you start seeing rallies in this city and that city, this city and that city, mainstream media has started paying attention to it then. And they start seeing how all these black people had put on these hoodies, and getting skills in Arizona IC. And it wasn't just black people. I seen other people there too as well. I went to the Trayvon Martin rally myself, and they had black people there, you know, mostly blacks, but I seen Mexicans there. And they even had a few white people there. So they had all kind of people involved in the Trayvon Martin rallies. Well, you think that don't scare those that's in power a little bit? They say, wait a minute. At some point, the king may show back up and mobilize some people again to think better about themselves and to be more productive about themselves. And once you saw all that happening, have you noticed how quick George Zimmerman was just arrested? Because at first, he was just chilling. He was chilling at the crib, not doing a doggone thing. And the more that black men, I'm going to say, spoke out and got louder and louder, now they wanted to do something about it, and they got a hold to Mr. George Zimmerman at the time. Now, he's a different story in itself. I mean, I'm definitely getting to that in this show, George Zimmerman, because that don't make no sense what's going on with him. But the voice of the black man is fear. And I've had people tell me, you know, that the way black people even say things, I mean, it's just different than anybody else, especially, you know, the black man, okay? Why is it that our voices are feared? Why is it that when we start speaking up and speaking out, everybody pay attention? We're no different than anybody else on the earth, but yet people pay attention to us when we start speaking up and start standing for something, okay? So I think especially more black men need to stand up and say something. Look what these two black men did. There's two, Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. That's two. That's not a bunch of them. And they didn't have access to no Twitter and Facebook and YouTube or any of that stuff. These guys did it the old school way, you know, and everybody called and spread the news and everything. Yet they got that much done. In this day and time, we get nothing done. That's amazing to me. That is so amazing. So much technology, how quick information can pass these days. And yet, two guys, and they have none of these things, got so much done over us. But where is the, you know, strong black men? Where are they? You know, are they even, do they even exist? And if they do exist anymore, why are you staying so quiet about everything? Why don't you even, I'm not saying you have to be some revolutionary and lead somebody to do anything, but at least lead your family. At least do that much. Show your daughters how a man's supposed to be. That's the problem with a lot of these women. They've learned, I'm sorry, from a lot of the times they hood rat mothers, just how to be hood rats, welfare recipients, and hoes. And these, you know, sons that's living in the house, the mama bringing in all these thugs around him, that's all he see and aspire to be is a thug because there's no man around. Okay? Not having black men around the home has affected our children more than what we care to say or recognize. Yes, you know, a lot of people love to point every single thing, black women. But when does it start to say, okay, what is our role as black men in this? You know, when do we start taking some of the blame for some of this? I think it's a collective issue, okay, with outside influences, but it is a collective issue in our community, period. Now, you know, as a, you know, black man, you must pick the right woman as well. I mean, we could all say hood rats. I mean, I did a video say boycott the hood rat. I'm a firm believer of that, that black men need to boycott the hood rat and black women as well, because the hood rat is producing more hood rats and more thugs. So if we boycott these type of women and stop the production of these children and excommunicate these women from the community along with the thugs, then maybe we can go back to what we once was as a people, as a collective community, doing what we're supposed to do and trying to excel and advance in America, which is a capitalistic society, period, okay? But as black men, you know, we need to take the lead. The reason why our community is so screwed up, I'll be honest with you, look at all the other communities. Their men lead. Yes, we can say, you know, black women won't let us do this and black women won't let us do it. But see, it gets to a point that who gonna run the household, you or them? If you got a woman that's trying to run the household, you don't need to be with her. My grandfather used to say that all the time. What's the point of a man having a house if he can't run it? You mean to tell me you can't run your household? I mean, you don't be with a woman that says she don't need you for nothing. That I mean, if you with her anyway, that's on you. If you let her overrun you and do all this stuff to you, that is totally on you, because you don't have to be with her. There are many women out there that's looking for a good, you know, black man that's want a family and want to do right. You know, it's like it's where you're picking. You know, a lot of times, you know, I see some decent brothers, you know, picking these hood rat chicks. I'm like, why are you picking these chicks? I mean, they no earthly good. I say, like, you overpassing some good women out there, and all the time. You just because she don't look like the hood rat. Of course, the hood rat has to dress like a hoe to attract. What else has she got to attract you in? She don't really have much conversation. She can't discuss career with you. She can't really discuss politics or just life in itself, because she really has nothing going for her. So she has to be overtly sexual. She has to show you all her behind and titties and everything else and give you some booty right off the back to draw you in, because she has nothing else. And a lot of these black men, they need to stop being so doggone thirsty for a woman's behind and get themselves together, too. You know, I'm because this is another thing I'm starting to get sick and tired of. I'm getting sick and tired of him. My brother's talking about, well, you know, a brother trying. Man, why a brother is always trying? Why a brother at a certain point not making it? You know, and I hate that excuse about we black. I don't care about that junk. I don't live my life like that. Well, I'm black man. I have, yes, because I'm a black man in this country, yes, I do have some obstacles against me. I will not sit here and lie to any of my listeners right now and say I don't have obstacles against me because I am a black male, okay? That's just keeping it real. And I live in the South at that, okay? But I'm not going to sit here and let that stop me from doing anything that I want to do. I'm not going to – if I would accept that, I would have never left Port Arthur, Texas, okay? I would have stayed in my old hood not doing nothing. That's not for me to do. I'm not going to – I said to myself when I was a kid, I may be born poor, but I'm not going to die poor. I refuse. There's too much money to be made out here. There's too much of a hustle that I need to get trying to make it. And this Oklahoma black man stuff going to stop me. Man, my ancestors did a whole lot for me, okay? The least I can do is try to do something with my life and try to make it. You know, now, a lot of people, the people I'm going to mention, don't like these people. I'm talking about the Kardashians. They don't like them at all, okay? They want to say Kim, you know, this is the truth. Kim got her exposure through jawboning and Ray J or whatever and doing whatever the sex tape of Ray J. Fine, you know, that's that. But you know what those people did? As you can say what you want about that chick, she took the exposure and did something with it, okay? Because what she did is no special than anybody else. They've done it too, but they never got to what she's gotten to. And I pay attention that their hustle is the mama. She's the biggest hustle out of all of them. And she hustled. She got all her kids to get in the situation based off of the light that chick got at that time period. Okay? Because she's not having sex for a living. She, I mean, she's just doing TV shows. She's a, you know, this chick is everywhere. I mean, everybody know that. And a lot of people don't like her and how she get down, whatever. I don't care about that, whatever. But I pay attention to the hustle? What are they doing? You know, I always say be forever a student of people who are doing it, because you want to pay attention to the things they are doing. And like I said, that mama of hers, she stayed working 24/7 trying to hustle stuff, and that's why her kids are set up, and I'm pretty sure their kids can be set up. So I want to be at the point of my life where my kids are set up. This is what I'm working toward, not just for me to have, but I want to leave something to give to my kids. That way they can have a head start in life and be successful. In the black community, we don't do that. We just think, Lord, if I can just raise them to graduate high school and maybe college, I didn't done it all. Oh, no, you didn't. You know, I want to say, here, son, here, daughter, here's, you know, here's a start. I want to get them started so I can keep a perpetual, you know, success level, you know, in our family. You know, it's not right for me to try to hustle hard as I can and live it all up and spend up all the money, and I don't have leave nothing to my son whatsoever. Don't teach him the things I've learned, or allow my son to make the same mistakes I made when I could have taught him the game a lot sooner. But as a black man, I think differently about children. I don't look at children like, oh, I just got to raise them and get them out of my house. I look at them like, yes, I need to raise them, have a good relationship with them, and also set them up as well. You know, of course, I'm going to teach them along the way. It takes a lot of hard work, dedication, and hustling. But, you know, that's what fathers are supposed to do. And a lot of these children these days don't have fathers whatsoever. And they got half a mother, too, because their mom was so worried about it. I had a woman complaining to me one day on Facebook about, you know, well, the time I spend with my child doing this and practices and this and my time. I say, well, if a child is so much of a burden to you, why did you even have children? You're talking about your time. You're talking about it like you're spending time with an animal. I mean, you should be happy to be able to take your children to practices or take your children to do this or that, because there's a lot of people, and I've met them, that would love to have children and can't due to medical reasons, and they can't afford in vitro. Yeah, you have a child and you constantly complaining. Or there are people that have children and they pass, some child pass away and they can't replace that child. And yeah, you complaining on your child because you're talking about your time. You always going to have time for yourself, okay? But don't sit up there and complain about your children or complain about anything, because I mean, at one point in time in my life, I started complaining a lot about a certain job I had. And you know what? The more I complained, the more I complained, one day I lost that job. And it took me a little bit to find a particular job. And, you know, when I did get the next job, it wasn't for the same pay. I lost a big lot of money, okay? And I missed that job I was complaining so much about. I missed it. I missed it a lot, because what I was making in 2 weeks, I was making it in 1 week at the other job. So that taught me real quick, don't complain about your life. Don't complain about your children. Don't complain like that about your spouse, you know, your parent, whatever. Nothing's perfect, okay, whatsoever. But don't complain. But, you know, this woman, you know, I told her all that, and she said, well, y'all men don't understand, you know, that we need time to ourselves. We need this and we need that, okay? Now, not every woman got the luxury of having a dad to pick the child up. I get that, okay? But maybe a family member will help you out every once in a while. And even you don't, even let's say if you don't have that either. Well, unfortunately, you know, it's just a card you dealt. That's why you got to make sure you have a child with a man that's worth something. Okay? That goes back to personal choice and responsibility. Just like I tell men, be careful with the woman you're having a child with. Well, be careful with the man you're having a child with also, ladies. Just because he has a job don't mean he qualifies to be with you, okay? Some of these women, that's all they want. If you have a job and he have a car and his own place, oh, I'm fine. I'm like, that's what you're supposed to have, right? I mean, your own place to stay, your place, you know, to drive, whatever. I mean, fine. I mean, women, have you lowered your standards that low? This is why men don't take you serious anymore. This is why they don't marry you. It's because you don't require much anymore. That's simple things that a man should already be doing for himself. That should have nothing to do with you, okay? And these guys, all they're looking for, a lot of them, is just getting your pants. And that's about what you put out there to a lot of these guys. That's why they don't want to marry you. That's why they don't, a lot of them don't want to take you serious. But, you know, it goes back to the man you're choosing. Because there are a lot of good men out here who are being passed over also. Women talk about that men passing over the good ones. Well, women do it all the time, okay? You have a guy who's, you know, doing good, the good guy. You know, everybody has nothing but good things to say about him, okay? He's a hard worker. He may be college educated, or he may have a certification, a trade, or whatever, or he just maybe he's just a regular worker. And you'll pass over him for some guy that don't have a job just because he has a certain look. And a lot of you women are deceived by a look of a man. You know what I'm saying? It's sad that some of these guys have made themselves to have that particular thug look, and they're not really that way, and they put on a facade to attract women. Now, I tell men all the time, never change yourself to attract a woman. A woman should be attracted to you for who you are. If you can't be yourself, leave her alone, because this world has way more women in it than men. So out of all these women that's in this world, one of them going to like you. So just chill for a minute. It'll work itself together. You never know how you meet somebody. You can work with somebody and meet them. You know, you may meet them online or a chat room or something. But you'll meet somebody like my situation. My wife, I met my wife online, okay? And she, you know, I had a Plenty of Fish account, you know, that website. I just had it. She messaged me. I said, oh, who is this chick? You know, and I messaged her back. And we got to talking, find out how much we had in common and everything. And we hit it off extremely quick, you know. But, hey, not everybody meet like people like that online. Some people have horror stories. But, you know, I didn't have a horror story. I mean, we ended up getting, you know, married with time. We were together. Ooh, not long. Yeah, we met in, let's see, December. And let's see, by July, we was living together, and by December, the following December, we got married. So it wasn't long. It's like one of them things that you just know what you know about a particular person, okay? And she, you know, it really fit every requirement I had for anyone to be with me, because I'm sorry, a lot of men don't have a requirement either. Just as much as these women don't have requirements. A lot of these guys just want the chick to have a big booty and all this other stuff, and that's it. And I'm like, oh, hell no. See, that's fine. Yeah, booty is great, but she got to have a career. She got to be a giving person. She got to be a person that look at the overall picture of a family. You know, it's a lot of things that I looked at, you know, for a woman to be with me. I mean, I don't look at no booty situation. Yeah, that's great and that's nice, but, you know, I like a woman I can have a conversation with, okay? I don't want to just sit there and just look at her all day. You know, I want to talk. I want to trade ideas with her to see what she thinks. I mean, a lot of times my wife has told me things that I'm like, you know what? I didn't see things like that. You know, I didn't think of it this way. You know, it's so many opinions that I've had that she helped me to see my opinions are wrong, completely wrong. Because she got a mind. And I like women that have a mind. I like women that's career-minded, because, you know, that impressed me too, that she had a career. For herself, and her resume was extremely long and good, okay? Like, at my point in my life, some chick with a big booty and a smile don't impress me. She really don't. Because I'm like, she need to have the booty, the smile, the mind, the education, the nurturing skills of a mother. She needs to also be a woman I can have fun with. Cause what's the point of being with a woman and you can't have fun with her? You know, it's no reason for me to be saying, oh, well, baby, I'm going to hang out with the fellas because I have fun with them, but I can't have fun with her. That is a big, big issue with a lot of people. And I was discussing that, you know, I talked to a partner of mine, a 50-50 pimp, and he's a comedian. And we were talking today about that. And I said, man, you know, anything I do, I go out and do it with my wife. I don't have no reason not to leave, to take my wife with me. Well, I go in what I do. I said, because we have fun together. And he was saying, man, you know, there's not too many cats these days be saying that sort of thing. I say, well, shoot, man, what's the point of having a woman if I can't have fun with her? You know what I'm saying? I said, I'm not out here trying to look for no females, so why I'm going to have my woman sitting at home, you know, and I'm doing my own thing, And then these women will come up to me saying this, saying that, or trying to get at me. I'm not in the game. Don't want to be. And don't envy single people at all. Trust me, because all this crap to go on here with single people and all this, you know, people being fake and phony and what they try and get out of you, man, you can keep that. But I told him, man, it's like me and my wife, man, we go dancing together, you know, going to the club, we'll drink and have fun with that. We'll go to a comedy club, concert, we'll travel together, everything. Okay? It ain't nothing that I can't do and have fun with my wife. And that's how it's supposed to be in a relationship. See, before, when I was with my ex, I didn't do that. I didn't have fun with her like that. Okay? But I said, before I got with any woman, I'm going to have fun with her, period. You know, if you can't be with your woman for anything you do or everything you do, then what's the point? Stay single. I mean, I don't want a woman just at the house for sex. You know, that's what a lot of guys give the woman, you know, they want her there for that. I don't want a woman just for that. I want a woman that I can enjoy being around, watching TV with, taking a walk in the park with, you know, outside feeding the ducks with some bread or something. This is the things that I like. And to spend time, you know, with your woman, and I'm not the type of guy, oh, I need my space. I don't have to have no space. We both go to work. That's enough space enough for me, okay? I don't need space. Why guys, you know, and some women say that too. Why do you need so much space? If you're at the point or you say you need space, you need to be single. That's point blank. That's just my opinion. Because, yeah, I understand you want to be by yourself sometime. I get that, okay? But this space thing and saying, oh, this just chick won't give me my space or this guy won't give me my space, the space that you need, you constantly complaining about, what is it that you want to do within this space, okay? Because most of the people that are saying that is because they want to be constantly looking or playing the field or doing something else on the side. And if you spend time with your woman enough, if you decide to go to one of the fellas, you know, go to the sports bar or something like that, go to Twin Peaks or Hooters or something with the fellas, she ain't going to trip on you about that because you give her her time anyway. There's a lot of women complaining, hey, man, you don't spend no time with me. You don't do this with me. You do that with me. That's another thing I want to bring up. And they go out and get them some perfume, get them a gift or whatever. And the chick not talking about some perfume or a gift, even though that's nice, brother. She's talking about spend some quality time with her, okay? If you don't want to spend quality time with your woman, if you can't spend quality time with your woman, then why are you with her for? That's the thing. You can't have a good relationship if you don't want to spend the time with the person you're with. If they get on your nerves after 15 minutes of being around them, you really need to assess your relationship and say, what is it about this particular person that's getting on my nerves so much? But I don't know. You know, maybe I'm crazy. Y'all let me know in the chat room. Y'all call me, let me know. 347-996-3350. Am I crazy for saying that you should want to spend time with your woman? Am I crazy to say that you should enjoy spending time with your woman? Or ladies enjoy spending time with your man? Because it's been working pretty good for me, that I have someone I actually enjoy to be around. And, you know, living in a household with somebody you can't stand, I've been there too. It sucks. I mean, like, especially you getting off of work, you're like, dog, man, I got to go home. You be wishing you could stay overtime a few minutes so you ain't got to go home and look at this chick. I mean, that's a sad way to live. And that's something I never want to live again. I admit that before I got with any woman. She got to be a chick that I enjoy being around. Because life's too short for all that. I mean, if I can't get a chick I'm happy with, I need to stay my behind single. That's period. But, you know, there's so many people out there, you know, they get in relationships. They don't even know how to be. They think, you know, it's another thing, too, about these relationships these days. There's no love no more, man, these relationships. And a lot of it comes with not having a proper role model of love and relationships and the marriage. And also a lot of this music these days. I listen to, you know, you pay attention to the R&B songs today. They don't really promote, like, love, man, like the old school music, you know. those communities were talking about, you know, how much the man appreciated her, what he liked about her, how he couldn't wait to get home to see her, and all this stuff. Now these days, it's, you know, talking about, you know, making, you know, booty claps and all this other stuff. I mean, like, come on, man. I mean, sex is just the icing on the cake. Sex doesn't make the relationship. And that's what people don't get these days. Because if sex makes your relationship, okay, eventually, if that's all you got, you're going to get tired of that. And you're going to want to, you know, move on with somebody else. Because that's all you have. And you don't want to get involved with somebody just based on sex. I mean, it has to be something about this chick that just gets you to keep coming back more and more and more, you know, to her. And same thing for you ladies. It has to be something about this particular man that makes you keep coming back to him more, more, and more. Okay? Yes, the sex can be good, but things have to be all the way around good in a relationship. Because you can't build on sex. What if you get sick and you can't have sex? Then what you got? Okay? What if she gets sick and you can't have sex? That happens. Because I remember when I was with my ex, she had got sick and I couldn't have sex, you know, with her for 3 months. So it was because of what she was dealing with medically. And so if you got a relationship, it can't be all based on sex. Because let's say that would have happened, I would have been gone at that time period. If everything was based on sex, okay? But you get to, you know, focus on building, you know, your relationships to be long-lasting also. I mean, when you get into a relationship, you need to think about, you know, I want to make this thing last. I want to make this thing work and be with somebody that's mature also that wants that as well. A lot of times y'all go out on the first date, y'all don't even ask the right questions to nobody. And that's why you don't know who you're dealing with. Because I meet a woman or anything, I'm going on a date with her. There's certain questions I'm going to pose to her and certain things that I'm going to look at her reaction to these questions. You know, like one of the first questions I ask as a man is this, you know, what is it that, you know, you're looking for in a relationship? She needs to be able to articulate that to me. You know, not something that's, well, I'm just, you know, I don't know. It's, why don't you know? And why we sitting here in this restaurant and you're wasting my time if you do not know? You need to know. That way I can make a decision what I need to do with you. Okay. The things that I ask also is, okay, where do you see, you know, yourself in the next few years? I mean, what you got going on? If she just like a hamster on a hamster wheel, just constantly going in a circle, not going nowhere, that's going to be a problem for me. If she has children, you know, I'm be curious of how those children came apart, because if she had a bunch of, you know, oh, it was one of them things, you know that little statement, I'm not going to be involved with her, because I don't have no problem if she have a couple of kids and say, oh, well, I have children, you know, cause I was married, or I was in a, you know, long-term relationship, you know, and this and that, it was a long time, I'm cool with that too, but all this, it was one of them things just happened, now I know what that means, okay, so no, that woman would be not off my list, okay. Another question I would ask on a date is, you know, what is it about me, you know, that attracted you, and, you know, what do you see about me maybe in the future? She got to be able to answer that. Not all this, well, you know, I think you look good. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear something tangible about me as a person and why I should be good for you. See, people don't think like that too much. Because everything I do, I'm thinking ahead. I'm thinking, you know, strategy and planning. Because I'm an extremely analytical person. I try to analyze everything. You know, try to think ahead. Because why am I going to waste my time with a chick, okay, and she's not being somebody that can be possibly productive for me in my life? I mean, why would I do that? I don't have that kind of time. I mean, my time is limited on this earth, so I need me a woman that's going to be able to mesh well with me as a man and continue to make me better as a man, because that's the whole thing. Your woman should make you better. She shouldn't make you worse. or make you less. Okay? She should help you, baby, get to the top. But you got to pick the right woman for that. And this is, you know, things that I live by. But one thing I want to say to everybody is I appreciate everybody coming to the show today. I really do. Just want to get all that off my chest, you know, about relationships and different things. And got another show coming up. Be Monday. I'll be having Paul Mooney Jr. on the show. He's a comedian, and I was going to wrap it up, but I got a question. It says, how do you deal with mixed signals? It seems like nowadays both men and women are trying to get played. Plus, how do you ask a woman with two kids if they are both from the same man, respectively? That's all about the first question. I don't do good with mixed signals because I just straight ask you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you giving me mixed signals, say, hey, look, you know, you seem like it is, or you seem like it is. What's going on? I was like, cause I need to know, because I don't do good. I'm not no mind reader. I don't do good reading minds. And, you know, you just need to straight up ask her that question. And, you know, yeah, I understand nobody wants to get played at all, okay? Now, you ask if a woman has two kids, if they are both the same man, respectfully. You can't come at her and ask her that. This is how I do it. I ask her about, you know, she talk about her kids. Say, oh, okay. I say, well, the first thing I want to know is the father, is the dad around or any life or something like that? She'll tell you yes or no. Now, let's say if the answer is yes, okay, then you ask her, well, how's the relationship with you guys? I mean, is he, you know, y'all civil, or, you know, he takes care, he gets his kids he's supposed to or whatever? You know, you're trying to find it out because you want to see if how her reaction is to her baby daddy, because some women got, you know, they always keeping it cool with their baby people. And crossed up, y'all, baby daddy, to the point you think, man, she's still with this cat. So you need to watch her reaction to that question. You know, now she may say, he gets his kids or whatever, and that's all I care about. He pays his bill, his child support, whatever. You know, okay, cool. But you ask about, you know, so your children, you know, like your two kids, you know, if they have the same, you know, they have the same dad, you know, just, you know, she'll tell you, yes, they do, no, they don't. They say, oh, really? Okay, well, I say, what happened with this child's dad? You know, why y'all not together? You know, and women have, trust me, if you pose the right questions, women have no problem answering those questions. You know, I tell guys all the time, ask women questions. They have no problem talking to you. But a lot of times you guys don't ask them questions at all. So you need to ask these ladies these questions. And, you know, if I don't understand something from my woman, I'll just straight ask her. I'll say, hey, you know, I understand something. Like recently, you know, my woman, she been, you know, kind of upset a lot because of work. And, you know, I brought it to the side and I said, hey, what's going on? You know, I said, because the job is, you know, I noticed you coming home upset, and, you know, she's telling me about the situation. I told her, I said, you need to stop worrying about the people so much at their job. And that's their problem. Because I don't want you to, you know, the thing is with my wife, if she gets too worked up, she'll get, you know, she'll get sick, you know, due to, you know, medical deal she has. And it's no reason for her to do that. You know, if that job's causing her that much problem, I say, you know what, you find another job, you quit. Because you ain't about to get sick, you know, get too stressed out. I mean, extremely stressed out, and you'll be sick in here. That ain't happening. So, but no, she took care of the situation. Came in home today, you know, happy, laughing like she normally does, and that's all I want to see her be. You know, with that particular situation. So I hope, you know, brother, whoever you are that asked me this question, hopefully I answered it correctly. Or if you got anything else, you know, to ask why I'm still on the line, I'm definitely, you know, will answer it. But if anybody don't have any more questions for your brother, I'll try to do this one more time. Let somebody got any more questions or want to call in and talk to me before I wrap it up. I'll keep going. 347-996-3350. If not, then I'll go ahead on and wrap this up like I was trying to do. Like I said, Monday I'm going to have an actor does a parody, Paul Mooney Jr. And the first time I saw him, I actually thought he was Paul Mooney's son, but he's not. He's just a comedian doing a parody. I didn't know this, but I'm going to have that brother on my show. I'll put in the details for that show here in the next day or so, and that'll be Monday. The brother very funny. And keep following me on here on Blog Talk Radio, and I'll definitely try to bring, a bunch of different guests. And like I said, I want to give a shout-out to Miss Bella Vendetta for coming in and being a guest on the show. Follow me on Twitter. It's at The Advice Show. You can like my fan page on Facebook. It's facebook.com/TheAdviceShow. And you can also watch my videos. I have about over 400 videos on my The Advice Show channel. And I started a new channel, The Advice Show TV. It's where all my new content will be at. So you can contact me in any of these places. So anyway, go ahead and sign out. Appreciate everybody for listening in and being in the chat room. And also the one caller that did call in to speak to the guests about the question that she had. So the next time, y'all be easy, this weekend. Don't get too wasted like that, drinking. And definitely don't drive if you're doing that. And so I'll see y'all Monday. Y'all take care.